Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I can listen to The Boss all day. I'd rather listen to them than us right now.
Pooba?
But you know who I'd rather hear more than us or The Boss? The true boss, the man who joins us every Monday at 11 o'clock. He is Scott Petrek. He is from the Chronicle-Telegram and, of course, BrownZone.com. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We're just trying to – I wish I could sit here on a Monday and make it feel like, yeah, it's Victory Monday. All good things are coming to this franchise and this team. But I don't.
You're not trying to get a doctor's appointment today either, are you?
No, why?
Well, because if you have any affiliation with the Browns, that might be difficult.
Oh. It's going to be tough. Very tough. By the way, I'm going to make sure I said this. You're on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
There it is.
All right, my friend, give me your big takeaway from yesterday. And there are so many things outside of the game that I'm wondering what is your big takeaway from yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, on the field, it's the fact that they bounced back from that Steelers loss. Played well enough to win and kept the tiny playoff hopes alive. But the bigger takeaway is, you know, what's going on with Odell and what's the future of Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland? Does he have one? Will it end after 1 year? You know, I don't think I can answer that right now, but it's definitely going to be a preoccupation for however long until it gets resolved one way or the other.
Scott, is it really? Because there's a little piece of paper that says he plays football for the Cleveland Browns until he decides he doesn't want to play anymore.
Well, I would agree that the Browns have the final say in that general manager John Dorsey and ownership will have a decision to make. But this is a different NFL. And while I get your point and I tend to agree at some level that it will be up to the Browns, and I'm not sure Odell will or would or could make a big enough stink where he forces the Browns' hand, if he decided to do that, right? He's been so non-committal and vague that we don't know for sure that he's desperate to get out of town. But if he were, we've seen it happen with other guys, other high-profile superstars in this league, figure out a way to get it done, whether it was Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, Jalen Ramsey with Jacksonville. And that's what you have to watch out for is, okay, if he is dead set on not playing here anymore, how would the Browns handle that? And I'm not sure it'll come to that. I'm not sure Odell has that in him. You know, I think he's just kind of wishy-washy, and I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but I'm not sure he's 100% one way or the other. And that's certainly how he sounded last week when we talked to him. As you know, he doesn't know the future. He doesn't know if he wants to be here or doesn't want to be here. And I kind of believe that. I kind of believe that one day he might be happy here and one day he's not happy here. So if that's the case, then maybe it can get worked out and he's content coming back for another year. But I just don't know if we know that right now. And if you believe Jay Glazer's report that he's telling other teams, come get me, that's obviously not a good sign.
Why do you think, Scott, if it's true that he's not interested in sticking around, what do you think the thing is? Is it because it's Cleveland and not New York or Los Angeles or New England or something like that? Is it because of issues maybe with the training staff that were perhaps brought to light by Baker Mayfield? Is it the usage on the field? Is it that he's spending too much time with Jarvis, even though they're great buddies?
Yeah,
he's looking to expand his horizons.
Jarvis factor.
Yeah, I know. I was a little trying to lighten the load there, but that didn't work.
No, I got you. Yeah, you know, I would throw this into the mix. Maybe he's just a guy that struggles to be happy, period. You know, I mean, he was in New York, had success in New York, at least individually, and never seemed to be entirely happy, or at least the longer he stayed, got less happy. I'm sure the injury plays a part in that, and I don't even know, you know, he didn't really blame the training staff. That was Baker blaming the training staff.
Right.
But I know he's frustrated by not feeling 100%. He said that as far back as August. And I know he's frustrated that his numbers aren't what he's used to them being and he expects them to be. And I know winning, if you trust what Odell says, winning is important to him. And that was a point of frustration in New York. And it's been a point of frustration here. I think when he came, like, I don't think he was excited to come to Cleveland. I just think that's how it was. He liked New York. He likes the big cities. He lives in L.A. He travels to Paris. All of a sudden, he's traded to Cleveland. But I think he was able to accept it with having Jarvis Landry there and with the huge expectations for this team. And when they've been unable to meet those, then all of a sudden, you're in Cleveland when it's, you know, cold and gray outside. You're not feeling great. You're not having success as an individual or as a team. And all that kind of builds up where you're just not content. Now, that doesn't mean he can't suck it up, and that doesn't mean he couldn't come back next year and the team has success and Odell's happy to be here. I just think if you throw all that in and he said, hey, could I go play for another team and would I prefer to play for another team, I would think the answer is yes.
Scott, your thoughts then on Baker Mayfield talking about the training staff yesterday?
It was, you know, I think he spoke out of turn. You just don't see that very often where players criticize that. I mean, every once in a while, you know, you see the issue with Trent Williams in Washington, which is obviously on a huge level compared to this. But players usually say great things about the training staff, in this one in particular and then in general. Those guys have the players' best interests at heart, and I truly believe that. And I think if you ask Baker that, he would say, yes, they want what's best for us. Having looked back on it, Baker has the benefit of hindsight, and he even said that in one of the quotes. Yet, would they have been better off with Odell missing a game or two in September and then being 100% as opposed to struggling with this all season? Yeah, and that makes sense. And I get his argument, but he shouldn't have thrown the training staff under the bus. They have more information than he does. He's just looking at the end result. He's not looking at, you know, examining the test results and talking to Odell about it every day. And they did what they thought was best. Plenty of players play through this type of injury. Obviously, Odell has played through it, and he's still on pace to get 1,000 yards. And when you watch him run and jump, he still looks like an elite receiver. I just think Odell knows that there's another gear he can't reach, and that's where his frustration is. And I'm sure it does affect him, but he has been able to play through it. He's played almost every snap this season, so I don't think it's fair for Baker to throw the training staff under the bus when Odell's been able to be out there and be productive, just not maybe as productive as he could be.
All right, so Baker jumps back and goes to Twitter and apologizes. Does he really learn something here? Did someone tell him to do that? I mean, we can speculate all we want on that. But, yeah. I mean, and Mike, and I keep saying this. Look, I want him to be 2 years older. Because I think 2 years from now, some of the things he says, does, they're going to go away as he gets older. I want him to be the starting quarterback of this team. I just want him to mature a little faster, I think.
I'd agree with that. You hope he matures, right? And you hope 2 years from now he doesn't stick his foot in his mouth or he doesn't think he knows everything. A, this season where Baker is at the bottom of the league in passer rating and completion percentage, maybe that will give him a dose of humility. I think that would be good for him. I would bet big money that somebody talked to him after he said what he said about the training staff, and that contributed to his quick apology on Twitter. I hope he understands. And Baker's not a guy that apologizes often, right? So I do give him credit for doing that. I'd like to think that he was, when somebody talked to him, he understood that he did step over the line and he was in the wrong there and wasn't just doing it to appease someone. Because that's a, you know, that's a sensitive relationship. He's Baker was with the training staff this week as they dealt with his bruised hand. You know, so I think it's a little self-awareness there when he said what he said. And it's, to me, it speaks to Baker thinking he knows better, right? He's got all the answers. And I think he needs to learn that he doesn't have all the answers. And he doesn't always know best.
Scott, can I ask you a
question? Please.
How about that? You're going up against the team that is the dead last team in the NFL in rush defense. And if you rush six times, three for Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Excuse me, Freddie. Hello? Who put together that game plan?
Well, Jeff, I would have been disappointed if you did not ask about that. And usually I fight you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's a passing league, and you know, you get, that's how you have big chunk plays and explosive plays.
Yep.
But I'm in lockstep with you on this one. It just didn't make any sense. And I didn't love Freddie's answer after the game saying, well, we only run it for 2 or 3 yards a chance. You know, you need to show me more. We know what Nick Chubb can do. We know what Kareem Hunt can do. Give him the ball. Give them the ball. And if Freddie really believed what he said about the first half, at halftime he wouldn't have said to the team, we're going to go run the ball in the second half. He knew that he had screwed up. He knew that he wasn't getting the ball to the best matchup on the field. And luckily he rectified it in the third quarter, and Nick Chubb made him look good with a bunch of good runs and the one huge 50-yard run that set up that touchdown.
Yeah.
But there's really I can come up with no explanation for how the game plan wasn't give the ball to Nick Chubb a ton. I have to actually implement that game plan.
He had a week to prepare for this game. I mean, when you say that, I'm like, how? Everyone in the world knew it. We're like, man, you know what? All the Browns need to do is run this week. And when they came out firing, I was like, this is crazy. What are they doing? He had a week.
I know. Well, Andy's had all season, right, to watch Nick Chubb, and he's had 5 weeks now with Kareem Hunt. I get that coaches fall in love with the pass, and they see opportunities when they watch film and go, let's do that. I get, but it didn't make sense in that example yesterday. And it also doesn't make sense when you look at this Browns defense. And I knew Myles Garrett, the loss of Myles Garrett would have a big impact. I didn't know it would have this type of impact. They're really struggling to get a pass rush. And we've seen it week in and week out now since Myles has been suspended. So if you can't get a pass rush, then you're probably going to give up yards and you're probably going to give up points. So the best way to combat that is by keeping the ball on offense. And that means running the ball and taking time off the clock. And Freddie better understand that, because if they want to get to 9-7 and give themselves a chance, that's going to have to be the formula against Arizona. Sure, it has to be the formula against Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and then again against Cincinnati in the finale. So, you know, I'm not saying you abandon the pass completely and you still need to throw the ball, but the bread and butter needs to be running the ball, and Freddie better understand that.
Scott, we always appreciate it. We will talk to you soon. Outstanding work, and of course, we'll read you at brownzone.com and, of course, in the Chronicle Telegram. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.